Father, we thank you for this book we're fixing to open. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come to the house of God to worship you. And Lord, we are so grateful to know that one of these days, the last day, we'll meet together here and we'll meet on the other side. And those things we tried so hard to do in this life, maybe have failed in some, we'll do it right then. Until that day, though, we watch you by faith, we study, we serve, we do everything through faith in the Word of God that teaches us the things about who you are, who we are, and what we're to be doing in the family of God. Help us today now, we pray, as we submit to the Holy Spirit of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here this morning. This is the second part of the message I started last Sunday. And if you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I'm sorry, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and my text is found in verse 10 today. We'll read a little bit of it, and then we'll come back to this in just a few minutes. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10, Paul said, "But God has revealed them." Them what? Back in verse 9, he says, "The things which God hath prepared for them that love him." Now, if I understand what Paul said, and I take it literally, what God is saying here, God is revealing to that to those, as he says in verse 9, as we go back, he said that the things which God hath prepared for them, watch this, that love him. That love him. Say it with me. That love him. Now, let me tell you, you can't love him, what I've been saying. In spite of what this world may say, there's no way that we can really ever love the Lord Jesus and God the Father like we should unless we're saved. So we know he's talking to the child of God here because of the pronouns that he uses. And he said, "But God has revealed them," these things that he's prepared for us that love him, he has revealed them unto us by the Spirit of the, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. And we started last part one, the deeper things of God. And today we're picking up part two. Now last week in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, we saw the Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. We also saw in 111 Psalms 111 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now somebody would say he didn't understand what I'm fixing to talk about and understand the difference between the thinking of man. How can he have the fear of the Lord beginning of knowledge and now the fear of the Lord beginning of wisdom? Well, there's a great difference between the two. And what we're seeing when he said the fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom, he said a good understanding when one obeys his commandments. So obeying God's word helps us understand more about what God is saying when we read what he has to say. So it's understanding that God said, "I want you to do more than just think on the average. I want you to think with your mind that you can know. I want you to have knowledge, and when you have knowledge, then I'll give you the wisdom that's needed to apply that knowledge correctly." In this world, man has knowledge and he has wisdom to some degree. They imply things secular in this world. You ever heard someone say, "You know, that guy don't have much knowledge, but he's got common sense." That means he's got wisdom. He can use wisdom at times, whereas he doesn't have to have a lot of knowledge. But it's better to have the knowledge and let God give you the wisdom because you can advance a lot better. And so here he talks about that this time in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 20. God said, "By his knowledge, the depths are broken up and the clouds drops down the dew." Now, here we see he said the deep things of God, Paul. And what God has said in Proverbs, also the depth things. It's the knowledge that God gives us that breaks up those things we can't understand so we can put them in systematic order to understand what God is doing in this world. That's the reason the world's so dumbfounded about what's going on. The natural man cannot receive the things of God because they're foolish unto him. Everything that God says that we may know by knowledge to a natural man is foolish until he has his spiritual awakening through the Lord Jesus Christ and become a new creation in Christ. And then God gives him his spirit. And then that spirit helps us understand the knowledge that's available that God said he wants us to know. Not just how to be saved and to receive Christ, but know what God says after we're saved. Not a one of us in here would have ever trusted Christ if we didn't have that information, which was knowledge about what Jesus Christ did on Calvary and died. Because it takes that. You have to believe that God raised him from the dead, even to believe. Confess with the mouth, believe in the heart that God raised him from the dead to be saved. That's knowledge, folks. That's knowledge you don't get from this earthly scene. Because the earthly seeing is dead. Well, you know, I believe there's a God. Well, the devils do that and they tremble. There's more to it than just believe it, access that there's a God. Because if that's all the man's got with the thinking of man, simple thinking, that's all he's got, then when he says, I believe there's a God, Satan will fill that vacuum with a God that's a false God. But knowledge of God himself will bring something to us, and the Holy Spirit reveals to us, and that's the way we can say, so you can't really know you're saved. Yes, you can. In fact, Paul said you need to examine yourself if you don't know that you'll let you be a reprobate. So what we have to understand, the deep things of God, is to advance us further so we can be the vessel that God wants us to be and not be something that we think that God should be just pleased with. And so he said God helps him reveal the deep things of God. Now, last week we said that man is so spiritually depraved that even when they think they're getting along well and feel close to God, he has absolute nothing to offer God. Why'd I say that? Without being born again, the only thing we can offer is when God gives us the gospel and we surrender to him ourselves. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And God said he tries the heart. He does his best to reveal to us who we really are. So now this morning, the second part of this message, the deeper knowledge of God, let's move a little further. He said, for what man knoweth? Once he said that he searches all things in verse 10 of chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. That's when I said to start with, the spirit of man may know some things about spirit of man, and you may discuss something religious and otherwise, but yet without the Spirit of God bringing to us a realization of this one who is beyond this life in flesh in the spiritual world. God is a spirit, and it takes the Spirit of God to reveal that, and the Holy Spirit does that through the preaching of the gospel to this world. But when they consider it foolish and think with their own mind, without the mind that God is trying to give them in knowledge, then they become, when he says here, natural man, they become spiritually, they're not spiritually discerned, therefore they're still unsaved. And so he tells us about what's happening in verse 12. He said, now we have received, notice this, we have received, and well, look at 11 first. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given us of God. Now, how would you not see the difference here in the things that just has to do normal man and that which God gives to see more than what the average man sees and turns to a God around him that's many gods rather than the true and living God? And he goes on, he said, now that since we received that, here, watch verse 13, which things also we speak, not, he says, the words that which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. And we talked about, we said that we have really two minds, even though we only have one in the sense of the brain. The brain operates this body, but there's a mental aspect. And you can, you be born in this world and you learn just the simple things about life. We know, you know, as far as a babe coming in, they learn the simple things. The mind works, it develops a little bit. You try to teach them good manners and teach them certain things. And they get a little older, you try to send them to school, teach them a little bit further so they get out of the simplicity. Did you know a person could survive and never go to school? By the way, we used to have hundreds of them in this country years ago before schools were like they are now. Now, the government knows that studying is so important. They'll make you send your child to school if you're a citizen of this country, or you'll suffer the consequence of it once they get a certain age. So it's important to get beyond the simple things that where you can just have to live and survive. God wants us to say that you have a simple mind. You have that mind about things that you can do and have wisdom to apply things as far as the natural mind is concerned, but that's not enough to get us to where he wants us to be in this particular life. The simple thinking. It's a mind to think with. Is a personal or is a surface mind. This mind associates with the world's ideas in social matters. This mind just to think with is to have opinion, make decisions, recall, remember, to exercise mental faculties. But there's another mind that God talks about, and the mind to know. And you see this a lot in this scripture. Know this, know that. You know, these things I've written that you may know about eternal life. It goes beyond just thinking in the sense to have something to remember or recall or just be opinionated. So a mind to know, though, this deeper mind is called knowledge. It's not subject to condition by this world. because it's related to the experience of divine direct knowing. It's related to the recognition and true relationship even with God. Not only can we advance more to know things about studying this world that won't come just from the fact of living. You know it's there, but they can study it. But God has said it'll take you beyond the veil of flesh that you might see and know the living God. What an amazing thing. And that's what this book is about. This book will not be understood by the natural man because there's things in here. Or he can study genealogy and some things about history. But this book is more powerful than that because it has knowledge about the true and the living God. And so this mind will want to serve the living God. But you're going to have to do what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is that good and perfect and accepted will of God. Now, ladies and gentlemen, listen. Most people want God to serve them. Most people want God to deliver them. Most people want God to give them what they want. That's the mental thinking, and that's the simple condition that they have of the mind. This is not talking, this is less than the mind of knowledge. Because God, when you see what God has said and gives us understanding, you'll find out that the mind to think wants the Spirit of God to serve it. Because it is the body that serves our mind or our brain where it rests in. This body does what this tells it to do. Did you know that? This body does that. If the mind goes berserk or the brain goes berserk, this body has no motability. You ever seen that? You see what I'm saying? So God is letting us know something about us that's different than the rest of creation other than the angels. And I'm talking about that in the field of matter or the world of matter. And so the mind to think is wants the Spirit of God to serve it. Here the intellect wants God to serve and reinforce the intellect. And here God, they're saying something like, God, please give me. Now here's how it worked, the natural mind. God, please give me that new job. God, please give me that new relationship. Dear God, help give me a nicer body. Help me look different. God, what happened to me? They're always asking that God would give them something in this particular life. Help me get rid of all of my difficulties that I have in this life. That's the mentally we have mainly because it is that which we see we're having problems, and this has to do with the circle of what we do with the body. And the body actually caters to the mind because the mind or the brain, which the mind is located in, is the center part of our mobility. So when it's fed with the elements of the world, that's all it's going to do, the elements of the world. Now, our bodies are meant to serve the mind. Our minds are meant to serve the Spirit by knowledge, because you'll never serve it without that. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It amazes me how God runs all these verses in the last few weeks of studying this, come back to see how those verses really work in a systematic order to help me as an individual and help us all as an individual in this life. You know, it's by knowledge. It's not just for the Spirit of God to serve us. God is showing us that He's given us the capability to serve Him. And He teaches us that. Not be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed in your mind. We are to surrender ourselves. In verse 1 of chapter 1, Paul begs those Romans. He said, I beseech you, ladies and gentlemen, in chapter 12. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, because you see the mercy that God has given you. He said, I beg of you, I beseech you, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, he says, unto God, which he says is your reasonable service. That's the simplest thing that God can give to this particular mind that governs us in this body at this particular time. So knowledge here is to serve God. Now, this is the only place where true knowledge can be experienced and established with true union and harmony with ourselves and also with God. We serve God in Jesus Christ through the mind of knowledge. And by the way, it's done God's way. We don't decide how God wants us to serve Him. It's done His way. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. He tells us that His ideas are different than ours. So He doesn't conform to our ideas. We have to be transformed to conform to His ideas. And ladies and gentlemen, this is something missing today. Nothing's been taught about where God is bringing us to in the sense that we are to serve Him, not Him serve us. But it's been missing today. And it horrifies in these last days of what Satan is literally doing. Now, this is on the place again where I say you can experience and establish true union and harmony with ourselves because we serve God in Jesus Christ through the mind of knowledge. By the way, you won't know how to serve Him unless you teach it, get it taught from this book. I mean, why are you going to serve the God of this world? First of all, you don't know who He is. You may know He exists, but you don't know. Look up to heaven. You don't know who He is. But this book tells us who He is. You see the difference? I don't know what this great God, do I know exists, don't know who He exists. I've got to know who He is first. And then when I know who He is, I've got to know how He operates as much as I can with my feeble mind. And I get it from this particular book. And this required great preparation where knowledge will take you somewhere you will not take yourself. And that's what we see in, as Paul writes over in 2 Timothy. I love this portion of Scripture because he... In 2 Timothy, Paul said it in verse 12. As he said, I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of Jesus Christ. For the which cause I also suffer these things. He says, I'm suffering because of my position that God has called me in here at this time. He said, I'm persuaded. He said, for the which cause I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of suffering, he says at this time, because he knew who he was. Why is he not ashamed? He said, for I know. Watch that, folks. He said, I know. He didn't say, well, I sure hope so, and I think it's. He said, Paul says, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded. Brother, when you know something, you're persuaded. And I'm persuaded, he says, that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Not worried one bit with the things that's going on at that time. So last week we saw we're born with a deeper mind to call for knowledge from God beyond this life and in this life. Second thing, we saw God's love is not separated from God's will. And now the third thing this morning, and I have just two today, the third thing, and God's love is the movement of knowledge within us. It is God's love that moves in us of knowledge. It helps us. You know, love is the will of God that expresses itself through God's people to this world. And that's one thing we miss out. You know, people talk about love, God loving them. Did you know the greatest love God can show to this world is when He touches you and our heart about what He's done for us to go tell them what He can do for them? Did you know that's the greatest love that He could? If God, but listen, folks, please hear me. Don't misunderstand this. If God could answer all our prayers unsaved, and we miss heaven, we don't get much. If God would answer every prayer for the unsaved that ever prayed in this life, it wouldn't be much for the short period of time we live here. That's the reason the plan of salvation, the most important thing this world's ever seen. And Satan fights it so hard in our life. Here we submit to the will of God, which directs our mind to be directed by the Holy Spirit. How does it work? Look in 2 Corinthians with me real fast, like, and down about chapter 1, and we'll read verse 3, 4, and 5. Watch this. How does this work? How does God use this knowledge that we get sometimes through experiencing things to help others? And Paul said this, grace be unto you, verse 2, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Then watch verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and the God of comfort. Why? Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. See that? He didn't say in a few or some or might. He says, I comfort you in all, notice, he said, our tribulations. Then he says, why? That we may be able. Why does he do that? Is he does it just for us? Well, thank God he does it for us. Amen? Amen. I'm glad he promised that. He promised it. I'm glad he does that. But watch, he says, he does it for what? That we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comfort of God. Wow! What an amazing thing. You mean God, when I go through this valley, when I go through this place where I'm finding all kinds of problems and troubles, that you're comforting me that I might be able to comfort. Did you not just comfort me to comfort me? God says no. He says, I'm comforting you that when you get out the other side, you'll be able to use, or I will use you to comfort someone else that's going through something.
It's not just for you, son, though I love you and I delivered you, but it's a purpose behind. There's a result behind the results to you. The result is that you'll know how I deliver people. You've experienced it, and therefore they will come out the other side and they will be used to comfort others as I've comforted you. Notice he said, all come, watch, verse 5, for as the suffering of Christ abound, that is, as the suffering of Christ, you suffer for Christ and you keep increasing, have to suffer for him. Watch, he said, in us, as the suffering of Christ abounds in us or increase in us constantly, that is, it may be at one level and it gets worse and gets worse and gets worse, and some people may even give their life for Christ and die. If that comes to that, he said, so our consolation or our comfort, is it, also aboundeth by Christ. In other words, if I suffer for Christ, then I find that the comfort that God gives me will exceed that suffering. I may increase in suffering, but he says again that wherein we ourselves, in verse 5, he says, so our consolation or our comfort also will increase by Christ. So that means if I go through it and then I go help someone else, then I'll find that'll give me the assurance if I go through another and over here, I'll know that Christ exceeds anything that I may face in this life. And that gives me joy as I try to serve him this side of eternity. Now, sometimes things hit us broadside and you forget these things. And I'm amazed how much this blessed my heart in studying the last few weeks, and yet I still find myself sometimes not remembering something he said and be thrown aside by Satan to get it distressed again. But you find yourself that way. It may be that God, that only God can reconnect the thinking mind and the deeper mind of knowledge within a person. It's kind of like a simple mind would be something like this. And this is a crude situation, I guess, but I read where there's a pastor moved to a new church up in the mountains, or foot of the mountains. And one of his members asked him, and he knew that they were some poor people to love these people. And so he went to eat with them, and when he sat down at the table, he noticed the dishes didn't look like they'd been cleaned too good. And he said, I don't know if I can get used to this. And he said, I believe these dishes are not too clean. Oh, yes, they're clean as soap and water can get them, they said. He said, well, if that be the case, that's all right. He went ahead and ate, and when he got through, he said, I believe that's some of the best food I've ever eaten in my life. He told the host, he said, this is tremendous. Thank you so much. I really did enjoy that food, even though the dishes look a little bit dirty. She said, well, that's the way they are. And they got through. And then all of a sudden, he knows she gathered the dishes up, went to the back porch and said, here, soap and water, come on, clean the dishes. Called the dogs to lick the dishes. Well, that's a simple mind. And by the way, there may have been some people do that. I don't know. I know this. I remember and years ago, people go by a river somewhere or another and wash what utensils they had in that river. It won't purify. You ever notice that? I often wonder. I guarantee you some of these westerns they made where they went and filled a canteen in that muddy hole and it never drank it, I tell you that. You ever seen them fill the canteen? They'd be out of water and fill that canteen. An animal wouldn't hardly drink it so bad. It looked so bad. What I'm saying, though, is that a simple mind don't see things a lot of times in an environment like we advance for the things that they had to do to God. Let me give you a mind that would be a knowledgeable person. This here is a college student, and he was praying a prayer, and this fascinates me how he thought this up. He's praying a prayer. He's going to take a test. And he said, this is the way the prayer went. It's been documented. He said, oh, Lord, hear my anxious plea. Calculus is killing me. I know not dx or dy, and probably won't until the day I die. Please, Lord, help me in this hour as I take my case to the highest power. I care not for fame or loot. Just help me find one square root. He said, and Lord, please let me see one passing mark in organic chemistry. Oh, such a thing I constantly dread. I'd about as soon to join the Marines instead. Lord, please give me a sign that you've been listening to me all the time. And please lead me out of this constant coma and give me a good shot at my diploma. Now, a man didn't make that up, just common sense, I tell you. That had to come from some thought, hadn't it? I like that. But we're talking about that which in turn has to do with not only here, but in life to come. You see, ladies and gentlemen, this is done by the grace of God. Only God's love and his mercy and his grace can give us what is needed
for redemption. It can't come no other way.
Redemption is not something that you have, that you can just add on to your life. It's not something you can put on and put off. Redemption itself is your life if you're truly saved.
The first priority is God.
Redemption means that you have connected your thinking mind with the knowledge of God.
In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and you look down in verse 5, that's where Paul said, examine yourself whether you be in the faith or not. Warning this particular church. He said, don't you know yourself? And I'll read that a lot here lately because that's important for this age we're living in now. Peter said this, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. Notice, in the grace and the knowledge. That's beyond simple knowledge. Simple knowledge may give us a thinking about something, can't get an answer, and God move us into a greater era of that at that time. To receive a great Jesus Christ as your personal Savior is to have God's place within you, the will of God and the plan of God, because He's placed in us the life of God, according to what Peter said. It's the very life of God. And so this is a deep knowledge by the new birth. This is a deep knowledge that gives us information beyond the veil of flesh that we may see through faith, which gives us assurance of things. This takes studying the Word of God, though. And that's the reason Paul told Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study the Word of God. Study it, that you may prove what is a good and accepted will of God. Let me read that to you. Let me turn over there, and sometimes these verses get together. Study, he said. Study to show thyself approved. That he said unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed. Now, I got it right. You got Romans 12 and this together, but they both are good verses. Amen. You can put them together and they're good verses. Even if you mix them up, it's still the Word of God in understanding what God has said, and provide you quote them verbatim at the time. And so number four, God's love will challenge your thinking and your attitude. That's what it does. The knowledge of God's true love challenges our thinking and attitude. And it's through His Word that you're studying. Knowledge is the greater intelligence that God has placed within us to guide us, to protect us, to lead us to discovery of greater purpose for our life. Everything else that's called itself love is just a parable. Some people say, well, I fell in love. Well, if you did, you fall out of it. There's not such a thing as that's puppy stuff. That's stuff on the surface. That's the way just the thinking mind does. Love is more than that, ladies and gentlemen. True love is something that's a commitment to. It's not a matter of falling in and out. It's a matter of commitment in one's life. And God is letting us see that by His love, agape. Everything else that calls itself a love, other than what we see that God gives us, is just kind of a parade. It's without substance. It has no devotion, no wisdom in it. You find yourself saying, well, you know, I met this person, I'm fell in love, and I just believe this person the rest of my life. Well, I'll tell you, when the distress comes, when you begin to grow older, when you lose the beauty that you had in your young life, when he loses his handsome form in the new life, when the persons certainly began to see the weight shift in different places, when you began to deal with adversities, where is love back then? Now, if you don't have enough of puppy love, it'll be dead time you get over here to this place. Because you see, true love that God gives us, will two people will work together, not against each other. A man and his wife who love each other will work together. Why? Because God has brought us together as one unit, not two people fighting each other separately. There are some things we let go in this life. I mean, you know, can't you just see this? And this is a little way, maybe not, we're not everybody, but suddenly if 10 or 12 years go by and you get up one morning, or before you get up, you look over there and there's somebody laying, got something in their hair, looks like somebody from space. And you think to myself, what in the world? What happened to that beautiful young girl that I married? I mean, that's what attracted you, see. And you're still thinking that way. There's more beauty than outside beauty, ladies and gentlemen. There's the heart that wants God's love and will at that time. I mean, the beauty makeup is gone. The weight has shifted. And you look and say, what have I done? Then she looks over this way one morning.
And as she looked, she said, man, she sees this guy he didn't shave. He finds himself in a situation that he's got to, the hair has been gone. The Atlas form is, Charles Atlas is not there anymore. And then suddenly she says, well, what in the world happened to that handsome dude I married? You see, now, when you get to this place, that's what distress will do. That's what heartache will do. I'm talking about knowledge that God gives us about each other. And you find out there's got to be something more there than just puppy love. And what a joy it is when God, it don't work sometimes for some people, but what a joy it is when God brings a love to a heart of individuals where they can work together and say, you know what? God has brought us together. Only God can take two people from far ends of the earth and bring them together to be one to do what He wants done, ladies and gentlemen. We're trying too hard sometimes to do it ourselves in this life. His love will challenge our thinking and our attitude. God has placed a greater love within us who are saved. And that's the reason He talks about people being joined together and unequally yoked together. Because when that happens, there's problems that's there. Now, it's the fact is, it ought to be if two people say, well, you know, I've said a prayer and divorce. Fine, it ought to be then the next time God gives us that wisdom. We ought to grow. That's what He wants, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. It's not putting anybody down who's been married a couple of two times or more. It's not putting that down. But I'm telling you, if you're going to listen to what God has to say, you got to listen to what He has to say and then thank God for His mercy and His grace to us. See? It doesn't mean we're not going to heaven because we get ourselves in these traps at times. His love will redirect us. Some people think the redemption is just something, assuming a type of belief. But it's not. I'm redeemed because I'm redeemed because I now believe. But believe in what? Believe in who? I mean, that's the thing, you see. Belief is weak and fallible due to human invention. It does not have the power of true knowledge. What happens is God's knowledge will take you beyond your current awareness and understanding. And sometimes you will not fully understand as to where it is taking you or even what it means. But if you follow God, due to biblical knowledge, God will direct your life by His Holy Spirit and open up great opportunities for you. One thing I may not know all about who He is, but I know one time I was lost and undone. And I know He took my sin away when I trusted Him, September 27, 1959. And I know He's cleansed me many times in the last 54 years I've been saved. How do I know that? It's not just because of simplicity of mine, though I got a very simple. Sometimes I wonder if it's not less than simple mind. I'm just telling what God can do to a heart. Praise God for Marty. Marty's got a simple mind. It's more than less any of us. One day, God reached a young boy into his heart, and he saw himself lost and undone, and he bowed his head, and he asked Christ to come into his heart. I'm talking about there is a knowledge beyond just this mind. This body wants to serve, this body serves the mind, but sometimes the mind is berserk. Or sometimes the mind is troubled, the brain, which in turn is located as we think of the mind. Man, what blesses my heart to hear someone say once in a while, you know, preacher, I've got more to do than I'm doing for the Lord. Please pray with me. I realize I'm in time and it's going by fast and I can't count how much I've done for God. Please help me. I know one day when this is gone, I might build a great thing here, but it's when it's gone without God, it doesn't mean a thing. And anything that I do here and leave behind, I've got to have something there, and God told us it calls it laying up treasure. What we're talking about here, you cannot figure it out with your intellect. It's too big for our intellect. Only the knowledge of God can lead you here, and that's Romans 12, verse 2 tells us. God can bring two people from the opposite sides of the world, I said a few minutes ago, together to accomplish His divine will. We may not fully understand God's way, but ladies and gentlemen, we can follow His direction. We can know His way. We can turn our best for Him. I'm glad not to have perfect understanding what all God has done for me in this life, but I do have the understanding what He did for me when I got saved. I don't have all the understanding why I've gone through some things like I have, but I do remember the day and understood how to get saved.
what it is to be a child of God. And go back and read, 1 Corinthians 2 again. Those verses don't have time. I'm so glad that the God of this universe cannot be conditioned by human beliefs or attitudes or emotions or social events or the petty things that keeps humanity in an undeveloped state. God wants to, in the individual, in the human race, to let him get started with them through the new birth. That's how it starts. And then he wants them to let him finish with them what he started, being persuaded that he can do what he promised he could do, as Paul said. When born again, we are in a work process that God started, our Heavenly Father. In Romans chapter 8, turn that way just a moment, and I'm going to let Jesus finish just a minute what I'm preaching. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 26 and 27, Paul said, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us. And he that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I love that. He helps me in our infirmities to know what I should pray for as I ought. He maketh intercession for me. And I thought, thank God, in verse 34, he said, who is he that condemneth? It's the Christ that died, rather is risen again. Who is even the right hand of the God, who also maketh intercession for us? And I thought about that. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe this with all my heart. When I pray, I might not put every word together. Like I might not give the right syllable. I might be mocked because of my Johnson County accent. All these thoughts may not be in proper order. But I know, based on those verses of Scripture, I wouldn't know that without the Holy Spirit of God giving that in the Word of God. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, all my ideas and my plans and my attitudes are aided by the Holy Ghost of God, if they're for God. I don't know how to answer sometimes. Our minds are like bowls. When you pour something into a bowl, it'll stay there until it overflows. And God teaches us what you put in. Our heart is like a bowl. If you put evil and then godly stuff in there, eventually it's going to come out because that's what's in there. If you put that which is godly and holy in there, it's going to come out also. And that's what Jesus talks about, the tree. Turn with me to Matthew 12. Let him finish my message. Matthew chapter 12. Look down verse 33 and 37. He said, either make the tree good and his fruit. He said, either maketh the tree good and his fruit good, or else maketh the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. O generation of vipers, how can ye be an evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of an evil treasure of it bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof of the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned or be guilty. Now look in Matthew chapter 7. And we'll close. Matthew chapter 7. Turn back over. And look down in verse 17 through 20. Watch what Jesus said again. And it's on the same line but a different time. Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit. But a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. Don't you understand that? That's understandable, isn't it? Notice he said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not good fruit is hewed down and cast into the lake of fire, or into the fire. Verse 20, he said, wherefore, because I've said this, because of this truth, wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I look at this tree God is talking about. The good tree is a lifestyle. The bad tree is a lifestyle. Now, if I've got two trees there and the lifestyle of each is to be a peach tree, then I'm going to look for peaches on the tree. And this doesn't have peaches on the tree. It's not the lifestyle of a peach tree. And therefore, I'm going to go this way. And then people say, well, you're condemning this tree. No, I've just chose the right fruit.
If I'm going to follow anybody, I want to follow the fruit of a Christian. Now, what happens is this, ladies and gentlemen, and please follow me. Every good tree might have, I was raised on a farm. And before that, my granddaddy farmed. I remember used to more so than on a farm, go down on the farm, and he'd have peach trees and apple trees and pear trees and all these. And I noticed some years he'd have a good product of these fruit trees. But even when he, just take a peach tree, you'd have a peach tree full of peaches. You know that's a peach tree. But I always found there's always one or two or three on there that were rotten. Boy, Jesus gave us a mighty wonderful example talking about fruit trees. And he says to you and I may have some things at times that we don't know or we did know. We may, and we fail God a lot, let's face it. And as you look at it, you might see, some people only see. When I look at a fruit tree, I don't judge it by a few dead peaches. I judge it by what's on there. When you look at a Christian, you don't judge it by just a few things you see, because you can find something in all of us. But you look at the lifestyle. The lifestyle of a peach tree is peaches, and you get good peaches off of it. And Jesus said, if they come a time, you don't get good. You see, what you do? What you do with a peach tree, see, the lifestyle we're talking about, isn't it? It's how he gave it. What you do, if you find four or five peaches on there that's bad, then what do? You prune it. Maybe you had 10 or 12 peaches that are bad. Maybe you had a number. You prune that tree. And then next year, watch it. And if it gets worse, all of a sudden you say, example of a peach tree would be a peach tree, but you're looking at us, if the fruit's not there, it's not what we say it is. And so if I take this fruit, all of a sudden I see that, and if it's pruned, it'll take care of that. But if this tree is not producing, you can prune it all you want to. If it's not producing the right fruit, if this is as a peach tree not producing, prune it all, it will not produce the fruit. And what does he say? He said, you can till the ground around it. It will not produce the fruit. But what he says, if it don't produce, you cut it down and put it into the fire. Jesus preached this. What an amazing thing to get you to see. If you're truly born again, not playing, examine yourself whether you've been to faith or not. If you're really, truly born again, God's going to produce the fruit. Because he that does it in us. And it'll come out where you comfort what you do, where you, whatever it is, it'll come out. And people will say, man, that person says he's a Christian. The fruit's there. Fruit's there. Yeah, but what about this? What about, those few spots will be pruned out by God before it's over with. But if it's not producing the fruit, it's nothing but a fake tree. And Paul warns about that, lest there be people who say they might be saved, may not. Only you can know that. I can't, and God knows it. And he said, examine yourself. I'm talking about that's the deeper knowledge. That's the deeper knowledge about God. He's not playing with us, folks. He's not trying to deceive us. He's laid it all out for us to dig it out, and that deeper knowledge God will apply to our heart, help us grow in grace and knowledge. And then when we point out something that's a rotten deed, God will convict us and let us see. For the tree to manifest what it wants, it should do to be that which God can work through to reach this world and comfort those who need comfort so they can be comforted later. It'll be pruned enough that we're here to get just what it needs to be until we get home. We got a loving God. Stand to your feet, please. My Heavenly Father, I've preached it, Lord. I've studied this hard. And I let what Jesus said at the end show us this great truth. This is a deeper knowledge, Lord, than what the average person thinks that comes into this world born of a man, born of a woman. Lord, it's not just the simple things, though, that's good. Thank God the body obeys the mind or the brain. And if there's something wrong there, Lord, where the mind's located, if there is something wrong there, then the body can't function. We have the mind, the potential mind of Christ, the Bible tells us that. Through the Holy Spirit of God. He comes in us. You help us even what we pray about. And you help us see, Lord, you've saved us to serve. Help us see that. I get told all the time, you preach a message like that, boy, people won't come. God, your people will come. Those who love you will come. Because that's truth. And it's not man's ideology.
It's not man's thinking. It's showing scripturally by the Holy Spirit of God that's moved in heart to try to teach. And Lord, I don't know as I have all of this together, but I know what I see I've got together. And like Jeremiah, I have to teach it. If I just teach it to one person. Dear God, help someone to see today this is too important to play with. If they're not saved, help them see to be saved. Maybe someone on radio listened to this a few minutes. Maybe someone you streamed heard this today. God, please have your way. Use your word, Holy Spirit, God's word, to draw people to the Lamb of God and help us grow in grace and knowledge as we see these wonderful truths. That's deep knowledge that God has given to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.